Welcome to Just a Minute. Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and around the world, but also to welcome to the show four talented, exciting, humorous performers who are going to show their dexterity with words and language as they speak on the subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And those four are seated on my left, Sue Perkins and Kevin Eldon, and seated on my right, Paul Merton and Julian Clary. Please welcome all four of them. Seated beside me is Sarah Sharp. She's going to help me keep the score, and she'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre in the heart of Broadcasting House in the centre of London, W1. And we have a lovely audience in front of us, eager to get going. So we'll begin the show with Sue Perkins. Sue, I don't know what's going to happen with this subject. My relationship with the chairman. 60 seconds, starting now.
The first time I met Nicholas was in a dimly lit basement. He said, call me Doris. I said, I shall. He had delusions of grandeur, standing there as he was in six-inch heels and a charming basque, which looked a little second-hand, but nonetheless sat up nicely around his milky white nipples.
I've got that picture in my head now. Trying to stop a deviation. You haven't got milk. Deviation. I don't believe that's the first time she met you, is it, Nicholas?
She's never met me like that.
Really?
Oh, come now. Everyone calls you albino hooters.
Sue, you'll say anything
albino
to get
albino hooters. The finest Mexican guitarist in Basildon.
Sue, you are incorrigible. You'll say anything to get a laugh. And I think I'm sufficiently...
Just tell you the truth, Nicholas, it's time it came out.
Now, I'm a sufficiently good sport to take it all, so there we are. But, Paul, it was deviation of a very serious nature. So you've got a point for a correct challenge, and you have 40 seconds, my relationship with the chairman starting now.
Well, the blood tests say father.
It was beautiful, and then there was a hesitation.
I know, he was playing for the laugh, right. You can have him for deviation as well.
Well, I mean, the test result, it's proven now, Nicholas. Right. It's time you stop denying it.
Well, I'd be very happy to own Paul as my son.
Yes. Oh, don't, I'm willing.
Can I express an opinion myself? No.
It's not the Jeremy Kyle show, is it?
I'd so, like to see
so
that edition, though.
Sorry, Sue. You had a correct challenge, so you get a point for that, and it's still my relationship with the chairman. Do watch it, please. 36 seconds starting now.
It was Dorking, my first ever Just a Minute, and I was terrified. It appeared there was something in excess of 30,000 people there. I'm just...
Julian, your challenge.
Well, she's not mentioning her relationship with the chairman. She's talking about Dorking.
I know. Yes, I swear you were going to say that that was the first time you played Just a Minute and that was your where your relationship began. I assume that's what she was going to say, but
yes.
She didn't actually say it, did she?
No, it's a long wait. Mm-hmm.
So the benefit of the doubt to you, Julian.
Thank you.
Though I think I knew what she was going to say, because I was there in Dorking, and...
Yes, that's where I first met you.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. But you didn't actually establish it with this.
No, I was just setting the scene. Next time, if I get another chance, I'm going to go, Mr. Dorking, Greg Nicholas.
Yeah.
Julian, correct challenge. 27 seconds. My relationship with the chairman starting now.
My relationship with Nicholas Parsons is entirely businesslike and above board. We've been charming with each other. Nicholas smiles.
Four challenge.
A repetition of Nicholas, I'm afraid.
Yes, and four to... Mind you, you can't repeat it too often in this
no.
game.
No.
11 seconds, Paul. A correct challenge. My relationship with the chairman... starting now.
When I was at school, I used to admire watching him on the Benny Hill show and also with Arthur Haynes. And he was a perfect straight man for those two comedians. And I am so thrilled and privileged to be able to say now, before the whistle goes, I know he's trying to stop it going, but I don't want to stop it going. Nicholas Parsons is a true gentleman and I love him dearly.
So Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, and at the end of that round, he's in the lead. Junior, will you begin the next round? The ultimate road trip. 60 seconds, starting now.
The ultimate road trip for me took place quite recently, where I drove from London to Monte Carlo with Jodie Kidd as my passenger on board a vintage Bentley. The only drawback was that my companion liked to drive at 140 miles an hour while eating a baguette and making a phone call. I used to recite my Hail Marys and Our Fathers, Glory Bees, which I learned at Catholic school. However, the ultimate...
Paul Towns.
There was a pause there.
Oh, that
was
a dramatic effect.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Right. 36 seconds, Paul. The ultimate road trip starting now.
The recent ultimate road trip.
Where's a little bit Irish there? Mm.
Have you had a stroke?
No. No, but I can move my chair nearer if you want. Mm.
Can we turn the lights out?
I should explain to our listeners. That's exactly what Paul has done. He's moved a bit nearer to Julian. Julian, your challenge.
It was a hesitation.
What was?
You were grinding to a halt, stopping speaking.
You made a vocal...
A strange guttural noise.
Hiccup.
Yes.
Which we interpret as hesitation.
Really?
So Julian has got 34 seconds to continue with the ultimate road trip starting now.
I'd like to go home in about half an hour. For me, that would be the ultimate road trip. There's something I particularly want to see on Channel 4 at 10 o'clock this evening involving a £1 million drop.
Sue Challenge.
Deviation. He's discussing his televisual... this is a radio medium, but he's discussing what he's going to do after the show.
Well, why couldn't he?
I don't know. I just thought maybe you'd give me the benefit of the doubt. Thank you.
You're playing this audience very well, Sue, but no, he's entitled to go home after the show and watch television if he wants to. There's nothing devious in that. And it depends when he's watching, of course, I suppose. An incorrect challenge, Junior. Another point to you. 21 seconds, the ultimate road trip starting now.
The ultimate road trip from the BBC to my home.
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of B.
Yeah. It happens. Correct challenge, Paul Willison. the ultimate road trip is with you, Paul. 18 seconds starting now.
From Aberdeen to Inverness at the top of Scotland was a trip I recently underwent. It was an absolutely wonderful day. And it's a new, fresh road there, gliding over the hills and across and through the mountains. And the scenery was breathtaking. And every time you turned a tight corner...
So Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's increased his lead at the end of the round. Julian's in second place then, Sue Perkins and Kevin Eldon. And Kevin, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is how to tell a story. There are 60 seconds as always, and you start now.
Well, the best way to tell a story is to begin by really taking your voice down so that you draw the listener in. This piques their attention and they think to themselves, oh, there might be something quite mysterious and fascinating here. I better draw a bit closer and cock an ear. Then when you've got them ensnared, you take everybody involved off onto a flight of imagination. You can sometimes vary your tone so it doesn't get boring, but not too high, otherwise you'll crack some glasses and some dogs will be upset. At all costs, you must have a good end of the story, or denouement, as it's called in classical terms, where the listener is fascinated by what's happened and completely surprised by the turn of events as they have evolved and are filled with emotions that move them to go to other areas of their lives and say, I've heard the most wonderful tale today. It was narrated in such a manner as I've never heard before and will always...
So, Kevin Eldon, who began with a subject and finished with a subject, it doesn't often happen, and Kevin has only played the game once before, and you fully deserve not only the point for speaking as the whistle went, but a bonus point for not being interrupted or coming in there. So, at the end of that round, you've got 2 points. And you're in third place now, ahead of Sue Perkins. Paul, we'd like you to begin the next round. The country life. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Well, there's a couple of old things I suppose you ought to know about the country. When you walk in the boys are killed, the cows, you ought to say to yourself, I wonder if it might be.
Who buzzed? Who buzzed then?
Sue Perkins has buzzed you.
Repetition of cliche.
Cliche?
No, there was a. There was a how were. So repetition of how were.
I know. Well, I have to make judgment. No, Sue, with the benefit of the doubt, yes, you have the country life now and you have 53 seconds starting now.
I love the rural idyll, the tranquility and silence of the countryside, punctuated only by somebody who votes for Nigel...
Paul Challenge.
Was there a slight hesitation there?
No, I don't think
so.
No, okay. No. So, incorrect challenge, Sue.
Okay.
Another point to you. 45 seconds, the country life, starting now.
The stillness broken only by members of UKIP canvassing at the door, desperate that nobody other than farmers should permeate their small, closed world. I love nature, to be out in it, to see cows mooing. That's the only sound they make, really. It's impossible to do an impression of a cow without invoking that...
Julian Challenge.
Oh, I think it's wrong. Cows and
yeah, she
cows.
Said cows the first yeah. time. And it was a cow the second time.
Yeah, okay.
25 seconds. Another point to you, Sue. Incorrect. The country life starting now.
I feel lazy if I don't churn my own butter in the countryside, but I'm not very wise as to how to do this. Milk, I imagine, would be the best thing. Also, there's an idea if you're not growing vegetables, you're somehow remiss. Everything is slower, a different pace. Time to contemplate the wider things, such as, why am I here? Why do I have no television reception?
Yes. June, repetition of...
There were too
why.
Many whys, yes. So, Julian, you have a correct challenge. 4 seconds, the country life, Julian, starting now.
I've got a small holding with ducks and chickens and dogs.
So, Julian Clary was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now 1 point behind our leader, Paul Merton, then Sue Perkins and Kevin Eldon in that order. Sue, we'd like you to begin the next round. Determinism. I'm sure we all know about that, but will you talk on that subject starting now?
Determinism is a philosophical principle whereby an event is causally determined by a series of events that have gone before. For instance, were I to deviate, repeat, or any other infringement to the rules of just a minute, I could quite happily say the reason for this was not of my own free will, but of a selection of things that had happened in my non-too-distant past. I am merely a hostage, a soldier of fortune, operating as a pawn in the wider scheme of things, moved in a haphazard fashion by powers that way, way advanced. No! That is determinism! It was meant to be, I submit.
And you went for 38 seconds on determinism. That's not bad, is it?
Very good.
No. But Julian, you challenged first. What was it?
Repetition of way.
That's
way,
right, yes. She did say way, way, right. Julian, there are 22 seconds available. Determinism starting now.
Determinism, I predict, means that someone's going to buzz very, very shortly, and this is awful.
Paul Challenge.
He's psychic. I think he was off the subject because he doesn't really know anything about determinism. So, deviation from the subject of determinism.
No, I wasn't.
No,
off
it
the
doesn't
subject.
Matter as long as you're saying.
Really?
You can still say that you don't know much about the subject, but still, you're obviously still talking about the subject.
Yes. Oh.
So, Julian, incorrect challenge. You have 17 seconds. Tell us more about determinism, starting now.
The difference between determinism and fatalism is not a subject for us to discuss this evening.
Sue, challenge.
Hesitation. But
that was hesitation. So, determinism is back with you, Sue. 12 seconds, starting now.
Theological determinism means you believe a god or higher identity is in some way shaping your destiny. Whilst I'm not a religious but...
Julian, challenge.
Repetition of destiny.
Yes, you talked about destiny before.
Well, I'm the David Icke of Radio 4. Yeah.
So, Julian, well listened. You have three seconds only. Determinism is about all you need, isn't it? starting now.
Determinism, it is a well-known fact.
I must say, we haven't had abstruse subjects like this before, but it's helping one or two of them. Julian, you were speaking, then it was all went, and with others in the round, you've now increased your position. You're ahead of Paul Merton, who's in second place, and then Sue Perkins, and then Kevin Eldon. And Julian, we'd like you to begin the next round, which is building bridges. tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Before I became a camp comic and renowned homosexual, I had a day job building bridges.
Paul Challenge.
You're homosexual.
I'm sorry to spring that on you.
Well, congratulations.
Paul, the audience enjoyed your reaction and your challenge, what you said, so we give you a bonus point for your interruption. But, Julian, you were interrupted, so you get a point for that, and you keep the subject with 55 seconds on building bridges, starting now.
I was building bridges over the Thames with Billy Boy and George, my companions. We all had hard hats, and I don't mind telling you, we had some very nice times.
Billy Boy and George.
So what is your challenge, Sue?
Well, unfortunately, it was hesitation because Paul was laughing and he was distracted.
I don't think he was distracted enough, and he kept going in spite of all the distractions.
Yeah, let's see benefit about Billy of the
Boy. Billy Boy and George.
Let's hear more about Billy Boy and...
I've come to know him.
Yeah. Building bridges, Julian, 45 seconds, starting now.
I was the hod carrier, and it was my job to deliver the bricks to my compatriots. And on one occasion, I dropped one right in the middle of the river. It was awful. I said, don't worry, boys.
Sue Challenge.
It's a repetition of rivers, in River Thames.
You mentioned the River Thames before.
I'm disappointed not to hear any more about Billy Boy and George.
Well, it would have been repetition.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you after.
Oh, OK.
Right. 32 seconds, Sue, on building bridges, starting now.
When you have had an argument with a friend, the best way forward is to build a bridge. It's very hard work, and it means there's no time for further disagreements, especially like me, if you're a novice. I like to go to George and Billy Boy, who apparently are the world experts in building bridges. Unfortunately, they don't have their well-known hod carrier, because he's gone on to better things.
Julian Challenge.
I can give you their number if you like.
All right. Julian, we give you a bonus point because we enjoyed the interruption. Sue, you get a point for interruption and you keep the subject. 10 seconds, building bridges, starting now.
Building bridges was of particular significance in the Millennium Bridge scenario, where it was so wobbly that those who created it had to go back to basics.
So Sue Perkins was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. She's moved forward. She's now in second place, ahead of Paul Merton and behind Julian Clary. And Kevin Eldon, we'd like you to begin the next round. 7 ways to say goodbye. 6 seconds if you wanted, starting now.
There are, of course, 7 ways to say goodbye. The first is the most conventional one, which is go up to the person you've been spending some time with and say, ta-ta. The second, if you're shy...
Paul Challenge.
Tell me, really, but ta-ta, you know, it's sort of... it is repetition.
No, it isn't. He said ta-ta, not ta-ta.
Oh, ta-ta. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, no, it's not repetition, then.
No, it isn't repetition.
Oh,
no.
Well yes. Done.
No,
ta-ta.
No.
Yeah. Yes, and that's Inuit for see you at the next ta-ta. Fish season.
Yeah. I know it well. Mm-hmm.
So, Kevin, yeah. You had an incorrect challenge. You get a point for that. 48 seconds available. 7 ways to say goodbye, starting now.
Another way to say goodbye is to be a bit flamboyant. Maybe poke yourself down a cannon, light the fuse, and as you're shooting through the window, say, thanks for the quiche. The fourth is to do it in French, au revoir. Fifth, German, auf Wiedersehen. Sixth, Italian, arrivederci. Seventh, why not go all round the room and kiss everybody on the lips and say, I bloody love you. Then... maybe you could get something really wonderful going by doing a high-kicking dance routine out of the door so that the very last thing they see of you is a waving top hat. The main thing, though, is to make sure that everybody misses your presence and that you...
Julian Challenge.
Repetition of everybody.
You mentioned everybody before. Yes. That applause shows they do love your contributions, Kevin. But, Julian, it was a correct challenge. So you've got 6 seconds. 7 ways to say goodbye, starting now.
One of the 7 ways to say goodbye happened when I...
Right, Paul.
Hesitation.
There was a hesitation, Paul.
Choked by the moment, I think.
3 seconds, Paul. 7 ways to say goodbye, starting now.
I said to Billy Boy and George, listen to me, I'm saying goodbye. And I was off.
So Paul Martin was then speaking as the whistle went again. The next appointee's moved forward. He's now in second place, one ahead of Sue Perkins and three or four behind Julian Clairiston in the lead. And Kevin is also there, but his contribution is more important. Paul, we'd like you to begin the next round. And the subject is the most useless thing I've ever bought. 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
The most useless thing I've ever bought. Well, I wonder what that could possibly be. I suppose it was that bicycle that I purchased when I was 10 years old. I didn't understand the concept of wheels. I didn't know.
Sue Chan.
Repetition of I didn't.
Yes.
And he realised that as he said it and put on a different voice. 47 seconds with you, Sue, having got another point. The most useless thing I've ever bought, starting now.
The most useless thing I ever bought was a home brewing kit. 16 months later, I had put yeast, sugar, water in a vat and thence into the airing cupboard to find it not only tasted appalling, but that cider was freely available at off licenses for a fraction of the price. It cost a monumental £35 for what essentially boiled down to basic storeroom ingredients and an urn. I have no idea what propelled me into the world of micro brewing, but it was a very brief stint and one that I'm very glad to be shot of.
Julian Charles.
Very repeated.
Yes, you did say very before. And so we'll listen, Julian. Another point to you. 12 seconds. The most useless thing I've ever bought, starting now.
The most useless thing I've ever bought was a pair of boxing gloves. I mean, I ask you. I don't get into scuffles very often. In the end, I used them for drinking sherry out of, which is delicious, and it keeps them toasty warm. It just...
Right, so Paul Julian was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, has increased his lead. Fine, so we've got another one of these difficult subjects. Dostoevsky.
What and is this? Determinism and Dostoevsky, wait.
Okay. Let me look to you with your superior learning and say 60 seconds, starting now.
Dostoevsky is my favourite novelist. He was writing in Russia in the...
Kevin Challenge.
It's a deviation, isn't it? Are we talking about Colin Dostoevsky, the garden shed supremo?
He's just opened up a new warehouse.
Fantastic prices.
Kevin, they loved your interruption, but she did us. She can go on any Dostoevsky. I don't know yours, but the garden shed guy. But no, I.
Colin.
Colin, no. She did establish within seconds of you challenging that it was the Russian. But you get a bonus point because they enjoyed your interruption.
Blimey.
Enjoyed what you said. Yes. Sue gets a point because she was interrupted, and there are 55 seconds. Dostoevsky, Sue, starting now.
He authored magnificent works of existentialism. Brothers Karamazov, Crime and Punishment. But what he really wanted to pen was chick lit. Why does nobody see the market for handsome man meets beautiful girl with big boobies? No one will ever buy this stuff, and yet I write, so I have to do this boring, whiny stuff about a pawnbroker who dies at the hand of somebody who wishes to better the universe. Oh, I hate determinism and free will. If it was just left to me, I would just do Milson Boone, but nobody interested.
Paul Challenge.
I was going to say hesitation, but I'm not sure there was actually.
There wasn't hesitation.
No.
Could have had deviation.
Apart from the Russian language, in which case.
Yeah. still with you, Sue, having got an incorrect challenge. 23 seconds available. Dostoevsky starting now.
He had an incredibly miserable life, which may in some way show why I've said the word way repeatedly. It's a shame.
Julian Challenge.
Repetition.
Yes. Way. Yeah. So, Julian, another point to you. 16 seconds available. Dostoevsky starting now.
He was a bearded kind of a chap, I know that much. And bits of food, no doubt, got caught in this attachment to his face, and mice would live in there and nibble away at these little bits of bread and vodka that was what they washed it down with.
So Julian Clary was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, his increase his lead at the end of the round, and we are moving into the final round. I'll give you the situation as we go into the final round. Kevin Eldon hasn't played the game very much. That wasn't patronising.
No, it's not.
No, because your contribution is brilliant.
Yeah, thank you.
So, and then Paul's training in third place for once, and just ahead of him is Sue Perkins, and out in the lead is still Julian Clary. And Julian, actually, we're back with you to begin. Getting rid of hiccups. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
There are a number of ways to get rid of hiccups. One is to hold your breath to the count of about 30. The other is to give someone to give you a shock. My mother used to come into the room wearing knickers on her head and we'd all go, scream, how frightening. And once you'd recovered, you realise hiccups were a thing of the past.
Poor chance.
There was a hesitation there.
You'd finished.
I thought it was extremely informative.
Right.
And again, another one of those mental images that will take a long time.
So 42 seconds are still available, Paul, for you, getting rid of hiccups, starting now.
There is a pretty good way of getting rid of hiccups, and that's to think or indeed describe what you had for breakfast out loud verbally. It doesn't sound as if it should work, but there's something about thinking around food that leads you to stop hiccuping. This was told to me by somebody called Andy Smart, who demonstrated it to me one day when I was suffering from this particular affliction, and it does work.
True challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, hesitation is the word. Work came into his mind, and he didn't want to repeat it, so 19 seconds are available for you, Sue, on getting rid of hiccups, starting now.
The best cure I found for hiccups is once when I was afflicted, Julian's mother came in with a pair of knickers on her head. I have to say, that abiding image, whilst burning into my retina, also made me think slightly less of what was happening in my chest region. Another thing you can do is...
Julian challenge.
Repetition of thing.
Yeah, there's too many things there.
It's always the way.
Right. Listen, Julian, nobody can catch you up now.
No.
And there are only 4 seconds to go. Yeah. And everybody's spoken on this subject except Kevin.
Yeah.
So can we give those 4 seconds to Kevin?
No, I'd be delighted.
And so we'd love to hear from you, Kevin, on this subject, so we all have a go at it. Getting rid of hiccups, and you've only got 4 seconds, starting now.
Wah! Doing that very quickly in front of somebody's face will shock them so much that their hiccups...
So Kevin Eldon was then speaking as the whistle waned, gained that extra point. He still finished in fourth place, but it was a very magnificent one because he contributed so much with his humour. Paul was in third place, just behind Sue Perkins, and they were all a few points behind Julian Cleary. Congratulations to Julian Cleary. So we do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and we want to tune in again next time you play the game. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game, Sue Perkins, Kevin Eldon, Paul Merton and Julian Cleary. I thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score. She's kept that whistle going whenever the 60 seconds elapsed. We thank our producer, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're very grateful to this lovely audience here in the Radio Theatre. So please tune in the next time we all play Just a Minute!